Thank you, Merle. Thank you, Lee, very, very much. Well, this morning we're starting a new series. I preached for 8 months on the life of Abraham, and then we had a sermon on missions, and then last two Sundays was a sermon on body life. The name of this series, it's going to take probably about 3 months to preach this series, is called Killing Giants. And if I'm a little close to my notes this morning, I want to just be very clear on what I'm sharing and what I want to share with you this morning. I personally hope that this series will be one of the most transforming series of messages you will hear. I hope that as you hear these messages, I hope you will change. You know, Jesus said that he that hears my commandments and obeys them, he it is that loves me. All will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? Did we not? He says, no, I did not know you. Jesus said, he that hears my words and obeys them is the man who built his house upon the rock. He that hears my words and does not obey them. And so I hope that as we listen to these messages, I hope something is going to happen to us. I hope we're going to change and see what God wants to do for us and use us in a very special way. Giants are spoken about in the Bible. Of course, the most famous giant is Goliath. We all know about Goliath and how he came and taunted the armies of Israel. He was standing in the way of their victory and possession of land. And eventually, from this giant, we came to see a man who was a giant killer named David. David was a young boy, young man, perhaps, we don't know, 17 or so, maybe more, 20. And he was a giant killer. David was a giant killer. But the real giant killer in the Bible is Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, well, I mean, Jesus didn't meet Goliath. No. Jesus was in the wilderness, and Satan came to test Jesus. And Satan became a giant to Jesus. Satan became an obstacle to Jesus. And Jesus responded to Satan, and he killed that giant. Satan left him, it says, and he departed from him. Jesus, at one point of his life, was with the disciples, and they were in the boat. And there was a storm, and the winds and the waves, and they became fearful. They were saying, Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to die. The plane is going down. And Jesus stands up, and he says 6 words. And the whole storm becomes a pussycat, if I could say that. He defeated that giant. So you see, the point that I'm saying is that I'm using the word giant in a metaphor. Giants are things that are obstacles in your life and my life. They are issues, situations in your life and my life that stand in the way of victory, that stand in the way of what is ours, what we should have. Jesus was in a boat. He came on the other side of the water, and he came to this man who was demon-possessed. And this giant, if I could say this, took a hold of this man. This man was not in his right mind. He would almost torture himself. He lived among the tombs. He lived among graveyards. He would howl at night. People were scared to death of this guy. And then the giant met Jesus. And the giant pleaded with Jesus to send him out. Jesus was the ultimate giant killer. Jesus was the ultimate giant killer. Jesus was the one that confronted obstacle after obstacle, obstacle after obstacle. And he refused to let that get in his way because he was a giant killer. Giants are something that stand in your way, in your life, for you to be victorious for Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I mean, just think of it just for a moment. I mean, Jesus came that I came that I may give you life and give it abundantly. Jesus has told us every spiritual blessing, Paul says, is in the heavenly places to us in Christ. Paul says, in all these things, I'm overwhelming conquerors. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I'm down, but I'm not out. I'm perplexed, but I'm not defeated. And you may say, well, Pastor Sam, I don't have a Goliath. I've never met Goliath. Well, I haven't either. Or I haven't met a demon-possessed man. I haven't either. Or I haven't met the devil himself. I haven't either. But you have Goliaths and you have giants in your life. You want me to tell you some of them? Fear. Fear. We're going to eventually probably organize a short-term mission trip. There's been an interest from that. And we're probably not going to go to Mexico. We may go to China. And some of you won't go because you're afraid to go to China. Well, I'm old, I'm saying, no. Why? Why hinder yourself from an opportunity of how God could use you and be victorious for him and accomplish something for him? We have anger. Anger. People have anger in their life. Anger toward people. Anger toward their parents. Anger toward people who are dead. Anger toward former bosses. And you know, it cripples you. It literally cripples you. And your life is determined on how angry you get during the day. That's how you live your life. Depression. You know that you may not know this, but the first 5 years of my Christian experience, I was highly depressed. On April 1st, 1977, I killed that giant. I killed that giant. And I would not be in the ministry today or preach the word today or have what I'm doing today if I didn't kill that giant. I was depressed. Ask Deborah, my wife. She says, you are not the same man I knew. You're not. Now, I could have stayed depressed, and that giant intimidated me. And I was depressed, and my life was determined on how depressed I was. Lust. Men, at some point in your life, you got to deal with lust. I preached this series of messages about 15 years ago. And about 5 months later, I was asked to preach the series again at a men's retreat. There were 150 men at a retreat. And I had 4 sessions to teach, so I brought all 10 messages. So my point is that each Sunday, we're going to take a giant. We're going to talk about a giant. 1 week fear, 1 week depression, 1 week pain. Pain, literally pain. 1 week loneliness. 1 week anger, 1 week lust. And I preached a message on lust, and 10 men came up to me afterwards for counseling. 2 of them were having affairs at that very moment. At that very moment, they were in an extramarital affair. These were evangelical Christians from the Free Church, by the way. These are not heathens in prison, by the way. They were on staff, some of them were. Some of them were elder, one was. 4 of them were obsessed and hooked on pornography. Said, if I could take you to my place and show you what I have stashed, you'd vomit. And the others were just dealing with defeat, defeat, defeat. I preached on anger, and a man came up to me, a big burly man, he came up to me, and he said, I killed a man. I said, what? I've murdered a man from my anger. He spent 20 years in prison. My hair came up on my back of my head. I mean, I never met a man that murdered anybody. He murdered him. He murdered a man. My friend, we deal with these things. We deal with these things. And these are giants in our lives that hinder us, that stand in the way to what God wants to use us for and accomplish through us and to be victorious in him. And yet we sometimes gauge our day on how much lust we have, how much fear we have, how much depression we have, how much anger we have, how much bitterness we have, how much paranoia we have. Well, you know what's the most exciting part of this series? I want to kill giants. I'm going to go giant killing these next 3 months. I've killed giants. But I have other giants. You know, I've told you before, I had a fear of flying. I told you once I took a train on Amtrak for 5 days from Erie, Pennsylvania to Seattle, Washington to play a concert in Seattle. And, you know, I couldn't get in a plane. And you know what's the amazing thing? The amazing thing is this. Follow with me. Your giants are not that big. You know why? Because I once discovered people who fly every day. You know who they are? Pilots. So wait a minute. They must not have such a giant. To them, it's no giant. So it's my giant who's really not a giant. I've let it become my giant. You know, last year I flew probably about 80 hours in a plane. 80 hours. I have 160,000 miles just on United Airlines. You want to go to Hawaii with me? You do, 160,000. So my point is, that's what we're going to do the next 3 months. Each Sunday, we are going to take a new giant. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about the giant. We're going to talk about David and Goliath, the actual moment of the giant killer killing the giant, and what he did, and the techniques he used, and how he did it. And then we're going to come each week to a new topic, a new topic, a new topic to kill giants. Well, where do I get this idea? Well, this idea is from the book of Numbers. So you have to follow with me. In the book of Numbers, God has come to the nation of Israel. God has brought them out of Egypt. God has made a covenant with them. He says, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And, you know, it was interesting. Let me just say this. I'm sorry. When I was at this a men's retreat, I brought all 10 messages. And I hand them out in the first 10 minutes a graph of all 10 messages or a survey. And I says, I want you to pick out the top four subjects you want me to pick on. And they picked on anger, lust, bitterness. And I'm trying to remember what the other one was. Can't right now. So the point was, I brought all 10, but those are the ones they picked. But we're going to go through all of them. There's probably about 10 to 12 of them. But here, going back, God has brought out the children of Israel. He's made a covenant with them. They come to Mount Sinai. And now he is going to go, and he wants to give them the land of promise. He wants them to go to the land which he said is flowing with milk and honey. This is what I promised for you. This is what I brought you to. This is what I brought you out of Egypt for. That's why I brought you out of slavery and brought you out of bondage and brought you from darkness. And I'm your God, and you're going to be my people. And I'm going to give you the land, and you're going to build my place of worship. And you're going to be a light to the whole world and to all the nations. Wow, have I got a plan for you. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, each one of a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel. So he says, God says to Moses, get one man from each of the tribes, 12 men, and I want you to send them into that land. They're in the wilderness now. They're in the wilderness. They're coming from the wilderness of Paran, and they're going to go and spy out the land of Canaan. You know, this is what we talked about with Abraham. This is what we talked about for 8 months. Go north, go south, go east, go west, every place your foot trod. This is what I'm going to give to your descendants. I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. So, what do? When Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he sent them up. Go up there in the Negev. Then go up into the hill country. See what land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, whether there are few or many. Now again, let me get this picture with you. Follow with me what he's saying here. They were in the land of Egypt. They were in bondage. They were brought out. God brings them out, and God wants to now bless them with victory and give them the land of promise and give them all his promises. And that's exactly what happens in your life and my life in Christ. In Christ, outside of Christ, we were in bondage. We were in darkness. We were serving idols. All of these are images that Paul says. You served idols to serve the living and true God. You once served slave to serve righteousness. You were once in darkness, now light. A Jewish mind knew that. He knew what Passover was like. He knew what the history of Israel was like. And he brought us to salvation. And now God wants to bless us in serving him. Christ said, I've come to give life and give it abundantly. I want you to be victorious for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've learned what it is to have much, what it has little. I've learned the secret of contentment. Read 1 Corinthians 11. He says, I was in danger here, I was in danger here, I was in shipwreck, I was scourged by the Gentiles, I was in danger on the countryside, I was in danger in the cities, but in all of this, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. God wants to use us, God wants to bless us, God wants to encourage us, God wants us to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of us. But we've got giants that intimidate us and hinder us and cripple us and fear us and depress us and bitter us. It's the same thing. The whole image of the people going into Egypt was the whole picture of what God has in store for us to live for him. It's the same thing. You know how many defeated, not negatively, but you know how many defeated believers there are? How many defeated believers there are? How many bitter believers, angry believers, lustful believers, depressed believers? That's not God's plan. That's not what God wants for us. I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel. I'm talking about being powerful, victorious for Jesus Christ in the spiritual world. Spiritual world. I'm not talking about how much money you got. That'd be crass. So, he says, go up there. See if they're weak. See if they're strong. See if there are many. See if there are few. How is the land in which they live? Is it good? Is it bad? How are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? I mean, they didn't know any of this. They're in the wilderness. They're saying, this is where God has told us to go. Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was the time of the first ripe fruits. So he says, go and figure it out. Go see. So what do they find? We're just reading through this passage, Numbers 13, 21. So they went out and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob to Lebo Hamath. When they had gone into the Negev, they came to Hebron where, now notice this, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. So the first, they come and they encounter these people. Who are they? Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmud, and they say these were the descendants of Anak. Now remember that. These people are descendants of Anak. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. You know, you've seen this picture many times. You see this picture of the Israelites. I mean, you can go to Superstition Springs Market and get grapes. These were grapes. They had to put them on a pole. They won't believe these grapes. They won't believe these. If we told them these grapes were as big as orange, no. You're gotta be lying. No, let's take them. They cut it, they had to carry it on a pole. You've seen these great pictures of the Israelites coming back. So two things happen. They found out these descendants of Anak, and they found this fruit, what the land was like. It was fantastic. Oh, but there are these people, the descendants of Anak. Let's read on. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word of them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So here it is. Here's the report. Look what we've seen. Wow. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. And it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless. Oh, no. What? Nevertheless. The people who live in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living in the sea and by the sea, the side of the Jordan. We saw the descendants of Anak. Amalek. Who are they? Wait, Father. This was so... Such a shock to them. You know who lives there? You know who lives there? Amalek lives there. And there are also Hittites and Jebusites and the Canaanites live by the sea. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, says, wait, wait, we should by all means go up and take possession for it, for we will surely overcome it. We can go and take that place. We can go before the sons of Anak and Amalek. But the men who had gone up with them said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are strong for us. We can't go up there. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours. It devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. You know what the Nephilim are? Giants! We saw giants! And we became like grasshoppers in their sight. We were in their own sight, so we were in their sight. They saw giants. Giants, they're giants. We're nothing. Oh my, it's him. Never, we can't do this. They'll devour us. They'll spit us out. They'll spit us out. They'll devour us. Men of great size. We saw the Nephilim. You mean the Nephilims live there? I heard about Nephilims. The sons of Anak. Now, where do these people come from? Now, this is a passage. I don't know what it's talking about, but I'll tell you it's in the Bible, so I'll give it to you. I preached on this passage maybe about 10 years ago. I don't know what I said, but I got through it somehow. I'll have to look up my notes. But it's a very famous passage that has a lot of difficulties to understand. But notice what it says. Genesis 6, this is the beginning of man's development, right? I mean, God made man, and he created them, and now they began to inhabit the earth. Notice this. It came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. I don't know what this means totally. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, this almost this cross-pollinating angelic beings with flesh. And God was not pleased with it. God said, my spirit shall... I mean, I have an idea. I'm not going to go into it now. I know what I said on it, but that's not the purpose of this. The Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth. There it is. The product of this cross-pollinization were giants. Giants. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. They were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. These were giants. This is where it founded them. This is how they started. And now we go back hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, and the land is filled with the giants in the promised land. The giants are in the promised land. You know, my friend, sometimes you and I compare either we had a good day or a bad day based on the giants we struggle with. Sometimes, I remember those days in the 70s, how was your day? Well, I wasn't too depressed today. How are you doing? Well, I was very depressed. How are you doing today? Who's lost husband and wife? Well, I'm lonely. How are you doing? I'm very lonely. I'm heartsick. Loneliness is a giant. We're going to talk about loneliness. How are you doing today? Well, I'm not as fearful as I used to be about this. How are you doing today? I'm scared to death. I'm not doing well. You know, it depends how this giant, how much of this giant or the shadow of this giant is influencing you. These guys were scared to death. We can't go. We can't go. God wants us to do something. God gives us an opportunity. God wants to show us something. God wants to bless us. God wants to use us. And I can't. I can't. I can't. Why? I got a giant that keeps intimidating me and crippling me and hindering me and belittling me. You know what happened to these people because they didn't go and fight the giants? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That's what happened to them. And you know, that's what happens in the Christian life. If we don't lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of us, we wander. We wander. We're intimidated. We're hurt. We're hindered. We're bitter. We're angry. We're despondent. We're in pain. We're lonely. We wander. You wander in your Christian life and you wonder, why don't I have more opportunity? Why am I more effective? What's the problem? Why? They wandered. You know, killing a giant has a lot to do with how your attitude is toward them. Remember what Joshua said here. Caleb quieted the people before Moses, says, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. We can do it. We're able to do it. God is on our side. He wants us to do it. He has promises for us. He has given this to us. It is our right. Look what happened in Numbers 14. This is what God is saying when they decided not to go. They decided not to go. We're not going to go. The 10 overcame the two votes of the two spies, Caleb and Joshua. Numbers 14, 22, God says this, surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land. I'm not going to let them see the promise that I have for them. I'm not. Which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of them who spurn me see it. God had to wait 40 years till all of them died. He had to wait for them all to die. You know, I mean, it's almost a tragic thing. We're waiting for people to die. Can you hurry up and, I mean, don't laugh. It's not funny. Can you hurry up and die? Because God wants to raise up a new people who will do the work and fight the giants and win. And we're wandering in the wilderness. We're wandering. Marriages wander. Churches wander. People wander. Children wander. Because there's giants that just intimidating. They come in your life. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring in the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. God promised this. He's going to take it, he's going to possess it, and I'm going to give it to him. My friend, the giants are not that big. They're not that big. It just looks big to you. We're like grasshoppers to them. We can't. You know that every time in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, they always compared themselves to the giants. I want to show you two passages. Now, this is written 40 years later. And here they meet these people called the Anim, lived there formerly, a people of great and numerous and as tall as the Anakims. Isn't that interesting? They met these people, and how do they compare them? Well, were they as big as the giants? They were as tall as them. Really? Who are they? They're not Anakims, but they're Anims. Deuteronomy 9. Hear, O Israel, you're crossing over the Jordan today to go and to possess nations greater and mightier than you. Great cities fortified to heaven, a great people and tall, the sons of Anakim, whom you know and whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? I mean, this is written 40 years later, and God's reminding them, remember who they were? Who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, you that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. My friend, listen, don't look at the thing. Look at me. Eventually, the Israelites had to face the giants, or they had to wander forever and ever. You get it? You may say, oh, I don't want to face this giant. I don't know what to do with this fear. My friend, you're going to wander all your life. You're going to be ineffective. You're going to be crippled. You're going to be hindered. You're going to be intimidated. Eventually, they had to face the giant. That's what God said to them. You heard Anakim. Oh, why did God mention that name? Well, let me tell you about them. Who can stand before the sons of Anakim? Oh, I'm already scared. Don't be scared. I am the Lord, and I'm crossing over before you. And I will destroy them, and I will subdue them, and you will drive them out, just as the Lord God has said he will do. Well, my friend, they met the giants. And you read in Joshua 11 what happened. And in Joshua 11, you have here a recounting of all these victories and battles. It's a little bit of a passage. You're going to have to follow with me. Joshua 11, 16. Then Joshua took all the land. And notice how detailed he says. He doesn't just say all that. He says where and what victory, what defeat, what area, where was it? This fear here, this anger here, this lust here, this bitterness here, this procrastinating here, this comparison here, this jealousy here, three-headed giant, two-headed giant. Some are three-headed giants, two-headed giants. They come in pairs. They come in triplets. We'll talk about that. All the land of Goshen, the lowland, the Arabah, the hill country of Israel, and its lowland from Mount Halak that rises toward Seir, even as far as Baal God in the valley of Lebanon at the foot of Mount Hermon. And he captured all their kings and struck them down and put them to death. Joshua waged war a long time with all these kings. There was not a city which made peace with the sons of Israel except the Hivites living in Gibeon. They took them all in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their heart to meet Israel in battle in order that he might utterly destroy them, that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim. There it is. There it is. There's an area where the giants were. We met the giants. We met those giants. From Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel, Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. They met the giants. We have to meet the giants. We either wander or we win. That's a place to win, my friend. You don't need to win in the church. You need to win against giants. There was left no Anakim left in the land of the sons of Israel, only in Gaza in Gath. And where did Goliath come from? Gath. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The one little postage stamp of land that they said they didn't get them all, only in Gath. Hundreds of years later, here comes this guy out of Gath, and he's a Nephilim. He's the sons of Anakim. He's the sons of Anak, and his name is Goliath. And David says, we're done with you, Goliath. Notice, no Anakim left in the land of the sons of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Eshcol some remain. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to the divisions by their tribes. Thus the land rested from war. Ah, my friend, but the story ain't over. It is not over. Joshua 14, verse 16. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, remember Caleb? Caleb, the son of Jehonah, the Kizanite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Hey, I was 40 years old. Listen, Caleb says, remember, I was 40 years old when I went out. And I said, we can go, we can win, we can defeat those giants. I was 40 years old. I brought back word. Brought back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me from the heart of the people melted with fear, made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the hand of which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Let me read that again. Follow at the end of the fourth line. Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be as an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years. 45 years had passed. I was 40 years old. Look, I'm 85 years old, and I've come to this moment to kill the giants. These 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke these words to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old. Woo! Don Ortland, he's 85 years old. You've passed him, brother. He's 90. We have others. John Sampson, 85 years old, and Levi Carlson, 85. 85 years old, and look what he says. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. Wow. Wow. Why? Because he was a giant killer. He was a giant killer. I'm still today as strong as I was those 40 years ago. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and then coming in. Now then, now, this is it, this is it. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. And the 85-year-old Caleb goes and he defeats the Anakim and Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the sons of Jehunneh, for the inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the sons of Jehunneh, the Kenizzite until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Wow. Wow. My friend, I want to kill giants. I'm going to go giant hunting. I'm looking for giants these next 3 months. You may hear a message and you may say, well, I don't deal with depression. You may know somebody who does. Get the tape. I'm not saying because you need to get my tape. I don't care. You may be a woman and you don't deal with lust. But you may have a grandson who deals with lust. You may have a son-in-law who deals with lust. You may have a son who deals with lust. You may not deal with pain. But you may know somebody in your church up north who deals with pain. Every week I'm telling you, this is going to be very practical. This is not going to be philosophical. This is not going to be theoretical. You're not coming to a psychiatrist. I'm going to talk about literally, what is taken to kill giants. To kill giants, because we want to take the land. We want to have what Jesus has given to us. The blessings he's given to us, the opportunities he's given to us, the faith he's given to us, the grace he's given to us, the mercy he's given to us, the forgiveness he's given to us. You want to go giant killing? You want to go giant killing? I'm going giant killing. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Because Jesus was a great, great, great giant killer. All power and authority has been given into my hands. And Father, we want to be giant killers. We don't want to live crippled, intimidated, hindered. We want to lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of us. Please, by your grace, Lord, minister to us personally these next few months. May we not just hear these things, may we do these things, and may we be victorious in these things for the sake of the victory and the power and the conquest of the name of above all names, Jesus Christ. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.